Today, we are going to turn our attention yet again to Haiti. Millions of people demanding, of course, there have been an uprising going on in Haiti, demanding the resignation of the U.S.-backed president, Jovenel Moise. He was put in place in an election that was very, very questionable. A lot of charges of fraud, a very, very low turnout in 2017. Thousands of Haitians since his election have been participating in almost weekly protests against his government, in some instances daily. When I was on the ground in Haiti and I've did reports when the Sojourner Truth team was on the ground, we also did video of the massacres that have happened in La Saline and Bel Air and other places, and the thugs involved in these massacres, a kind of a paramilitary force reminiscent of the Tonton Macoute under the Duvalier dictatorship regime. They have been terrorizing people, and they are doing it again. But there's also a link to the present administration of Jovenel Moise. Additionally, the administration, U.S.-backed administration of Jovenel Moise, has been named in part for the disappearance of $3.8 billion that Venezuela loaned to Haiti that was supposed to help uplift the Haitian people. That's a lot of money. That's $3.8 billion that have just walked. Haiti is the most impoverished country in the Western Hemisphere, as you have often heard me say. It's also a matter of pride for a lot of us of African descent. It was the first Black Republic that we know of. They had a very, very successful rebellion, slave rebellion, where they defeated the most powerful army of the day at that time, which was Napoleon's army. And it seems as though Haiti has been paying a price ever since the United States slapped a 30-year boycott on Haiti after the Haitian Revolution, and also invaded Haiti countless times, raided the Haitian treasury, etc. So the Haitian people are still very, very much embroiled in what they say to complete the revolution that they began way back in 2004. But to talk about what is going on now, because there's this death squad leader who has been imprisoned in the United States, and now the Trump administration is threatening to return him to Haiti. There has been an outcry by Haitian human rights activists and other human rights activists against his return. And I would now like to welcome to Sojourner Truth to discuss all of this, in particular, who is this man, Emmanuel Constant, human rights lawyer, Brian Concannon, director of Project Blueprint, which works for a progressive human rights-based U.S. foreign policy organization. Brian has worked on human rights in Haiti for 25 years, including co-managing the Office of International Lawyers, or BAI, in Port-au-Prince, Haiti from 1996 to 2004, and founding the Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti, which he directed from 2004 to 2019. And along with human rights attorney Mario Joseph, Brian helped to prepare the prosecution of the Rabatua Massacre trial in 2000, one of the most significant human rights cases anywhere in the Western Hemisphere. And Brian could fill us in about what all of that is about. Brian Concannon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Margaret. It's an honor to join you.
Okay, so Brian, who is this man, Emmanuel Toto Constant? Why is he notorious in Haiti? What are the crimes he was charged with in Haiti, and also other crimes that he was implicated in Haiti?
Emmanuel Constant was the leader of the FRAP death squad. And the FRAP was active from 1991 to 1994 during a military dictatorship. And what FRAP did was to do the dictatorship's dirty work, because it was bad press for the soldiers to go around shooting people. The FRAP death squad would go around doing the beating and the shooting and raping and torture, and in a way that was slightly less traceable back to the government. No one knows exactly how many victims of FRAP there were. It was certainly, in terms of deaths, it was certainly in the high hundreds, most likely in the thousands, more for torture and other attacks. The problem is that what his MO was going after, mostly poor neighborhoods, that supported democracy, especially groups that were affiliated with the Lavalas movement. And the problem with...
And Lavalas, that's the party headed by Jean-Martin Aristide, right?
Exactly. And the 1991 to 1994 coup was all about exiling Jean-Bertrand Aristide and reversing the progressive policies that he was trying to put into place. And you're back in a similar situation now where you have a right-wing government that is supported by the U.S., as the 1991 to 94 military dictatorship was. And they're doing a lot of the same things that Constant and his death squad did back in the 90s. They are attacking poor neighborhoods and using thugs, and with some police help and some coordination by senior government officials, they're going into poor neighborhoods and terrorizing, killing, burning houses, raping, torturing, all as a way of preventing pro-democracy activists, especially the Lavalas movement, from asserting their rights and pushing for progressive policies. So far, what the government has been doing has been at a lower scale than what Constant did. So the risk is that Constant returning means that he's going to scale up the operation, that it's literally putting gasoline into the fire hose.
Yeah, I mean, it is so shocking that for this guy even to be considered to be returned to Haiti. And the scary part about it is that he was found guilty, by the way, after that coup, that first coup against President Aristide, because remember there were two, there was the 2004 coup, but after that first coup and Constant and his thugs, they went around. I mean, I saw a number as high as 3,000 Aristide supporters who were slaughtered at the time. Constant fled Haiti to the United States, but he was found guilty thanks to your work, Brian, and also the work of Mario Joseph and your team in absentia. But if he returns to Haiti, he now legally has the right to a new trial. And what are your thoughts about that? Because given the fact that, first of all, there's a connection now with Constant and somebody pretty high up in the newly put back together army that Jovenel Moïse put in place. This is after President Aristide had disbanded that army that was notorious for just doing the bidding of the United States and terrorizing the Haitian grassroots. So he already has a high-up connection on the ground in Haiti. So a lot of people are very worried about what could happen if he returns, maybe even a possibility of him walking free.
Oh, I think most people expect there's a probability of him walking free. So you mentioned Jean-Robert Gabriel, who was a member of the high command under the military regime. So one of the top leaders. He was convicted, like Emmanuel Constant was convicted in absentia in the Raboteau trial and convicted of murder. He later got a judge to issue a corrupt order saying that his conviction was not justified. And we expect that is the current plan for Constant, that the government, which is from the same political, same part of the political spectrum as Constant, a lot of holdovers, including Jean-Robert Gabriel, from the 1991 to 94 dictatorship, that their plan is just to run quickly through the justice system, get a judge to issue a corrupt order saying that he's free and he's going to be free to pick up where he left off last time. One additional thing that he was convicted of, so he was convicted of murder in the Raboteau case, convicted in New York court of grand theft. He was also in a civil suit, he was found responsible. In a civil suit in New York, he was responsible for massive rapes in Haiti as well. So, I mean, he has a really long record. And when the judge sentenced him on the mortgage fraud, the judge said that he hoped that he served his entire 37-year sentence because he was such a dangerous person who'd just done so many bad things. He did not serve. He was allowed out almost a year after he was first eligible for parole and is now being sent back to Haiti where he'll have no problem.
Yeah, and a lot of people right now are saying, well, the judicial system in Haiti, very, very weak, to say the least, and dominated by a lot of people put in place by this administration, the Moïse administration. Of course, the previous administration, Martelly, he and the present Jovenel Moïse, you know, are close. They're from the same political elk and leaning and party as well. So they've had some say in looking at, you know, what the judicial system in Haiti looks at right now. But Brian Concanen, I mean, you were with part of our human rights delegation that I was on. I can't even remember. That was last year, wasn't it? Last spring, was it, Brian? Last April we were on the ground in Haiti. And you mentioned about the similarity between the Constant operation of terror and the operation of terror that's happening today, where you have a brutal government basically outsourcing, so to speak, in some instances, their reign of terror against communities that they see as strongholds of the opposition, right? When we were down there and meeting in the U.S. Embassy with the ambassador and many others there, with Congresswoman Maxine Waters, they were insisting that that really wasn't the case. There was no government connection with Haiti, that this was just all about gang warfare. And, you know, I really think, I may be wrong about this, but I also think there's a connection with the recent round of violence and massacres that have happened yesterday, started this weekend, because Constant was due back in Haiti on Tuesday. Now, that has been delayed because of the outcry of people like yourself and many others. But I see a connection, because people like Barbecue, who's now going around orchestrating, doing, in my view, the work that the government doesn't want to be seen to be doing, they're encouraged by somebody like Constant's return. What are your thoughts on that?
That's exactly part of the larger plan. And when we were last April, when we were talking to victims, I mean, it was hearing their stories was soul crushing for a lot of reasons. And one of them was, to me, it sounded exactly like the stories I had heard 25 years ago talking to the victims of Constant. Hearing what the embassy said was exactly what the embassy was saying in 1993, saying that it wasn't, that FRAP wasn't an organized death squad. It was just common crime that people were trying to politicize, and just dismissing and denying clearly political violence. And in that case, the U.S. knew exactly what was happening, because Constant was a CIA asset. He was being paid by the CIA at the time. And someone like Barbecue is a lot like Joël Chamblain, who was Constant's number two. He'd come from the security forces and then moved on to being a death squad leader. And one of the concerns is that what Constant's going to do is to organize this and scale up what's been happening, you know, horrible events, but at a relatively low scale compared to what Constant did in 1991. But he's going to bring his organizational skills to increase this, to make it much more systematic and widespread.
Yeah, and help Jovenel Moïse to hold on to power. I mean, he's holding on just by a thread, given the massive protests against him. The numbers of those protests have clearly dropped because of COVID. And right now, indeed, in the Caribbean region, Haiti is a hot spot for COVID. Just in the last 3 days, the number of cases went up by 300, I understand, and is now in prisons in Haiti. But you know, Brian, not that.
Excuse me. I'd make one really important point tying in what you said before. One of the things that's happening is, you know, as you mentioned, billions of dollars stolen by the government. President Moïse's term ends in February. They can't allow a democratically elected president to take over, because they're all going to be in jail. So one of the things that's up, and that's one of the things that's happening with the attacks this week in Cité Soleil, is they're trying to take control of neighborhoods so they can control voting centers, so they can prevent a democratically elected president from being elected and holding them to account.
That's right, and intimidating people in that. You're absolutely right about that. And I'm also reminded that not that long ago, there was an assassination attempt at a key member of the Lavalas executive, Pasha Vobre. We interviewed him at the time, but gunmen went into his house with long weapons. Luckily, he was not there, but they did threaten and say, "We have some bullets for you." We also know that the person that a lot of these types are after is the former president Aristide himself. So when they do things like this, when they bring back Constant, when they threaten somebody in the Lavalas executive the way they have, that is definitely sending a strong message. But that leads me into the fact Jean-Bertrand Aristide, of course, was a liberation theology priest before he was elected to become president, and remains the most popular political figure in Haiti today. But yesterday marked the death of Father Jean Juste. And Father Jean Juste was also a liberation theologist and servicing the poor. And Brian, I just wanted to lift him up a bit today and to play this short clip from Long Memory Productions. It's a memorial video. It's part of a memorial video of Gerard Jean Juste, Father Gerard Jean Juste, and then have your comments. Let's go to that clip now.
It's terrible to see Haitians, soldiers, military men, who were supposed to protect simple citizens, innocent citizens, unarmed civilians. They were supposed to protect them. They were the one killing them, and they are still doing that. They are the one raping children, women, sometimes in front of their parents, raping young children or raping parents. And it's terrible.
A 1,000 years ago, one man was fighting to get justice, which was Jesus, and he's still alive. They kill his body, and they cannot kill justice. His hope of justice for all those who are fighting to get justice.
I share the philosophy of President Aristide. I share the philosophy of Dr. King, of Gandhi. That's my style. That's the way I've been fighting all my life. But when you see soldiers shooting people in cold blood, you need to pray hard to God not to react violently.
And no other government in this hemisphere should be involved in the overthrowing of another government in this hemisphere that has been elected, recognized, constitutional.
Right, I'm going to have to end. We'll have to bring that clip down early. Brian Concana, we know you have a medical appointment you've got to dash off to. So just a very, very quick comment. I know you have about 30 seconds on Father Jean Juste.
Sure. Father Jerry's one of these people that you think almost every week, if only he were here. I mean, he had such a prophetic voice, yeah, and had such credibility on the streets of Haiti among the poor, and was a liberation theologian who really put in practice the teachings of Jesus. The end of his clip, he was talking about overthrowing a government. That was referring to 2004 when the U.S. kidnapped President Aristide. Father Jerry was arrested. We represented him. He spent about a year and a half in jail for preaching justice, and he ended up dying of very suspicious circumstances. Most of his supporters and family believe he was poisoned, and believe he was poisoned exactly to keep him from speaking out in times like this. And so I think it's up to all of us, and I appreciate you doing this, to speak out how Father Jerry would want us to speak out against these kinds of injustice.
Right. Thank you, Brian Concanen, for all of your work. Take good care and stay safe now. All righty. This Okay, this is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. What I would like to do, though, if we are able to do this, can we play the rest of that clip about on Father Jean Juste? Yesterday marked the 11th anniversary of his death, and I actually recall Father Jean Juste spent time in prison. Of course, they came in and actually arrested him when he was feeding children in his church. I went to the prison where Father Jean Juste was and visited him. So did Congresswoman Maxine Waters. So he was a great loss for the Haitian people, just like the loss of Levinsky Pierre Antoine, who disappeared mysteriously. His body was never found. And as Brian said, the death of Father Jean Juste, very suspect. Are we able to play the rest of that clip now?
Overthrowing of another government in this hemisphere that has been elected, recognized, constitutional. Every Sunday, the much we can, we feed the children. This food, this hot meal program has been taking place over 2 years now. And the people enjoy it, children particularly, they enjoy it. And once in a while, we distribute presents to them. Santa Claus came, friends come with gifts for them. It's a great time we having around here on Sunday. But we enjoy it. Look at the children, they enjoy the food. They would like to have 2 meals, 3 meals, 4 meals. But as long as you finish to serve everyone, the leftover, we're going to pass it out to the children also. But now, after serving the children, the program has been for the children first, and then we're going to go to the adults. Because the adults say, hey, what about us? We are people like everybody. We are children of God.
Amen. I'm under arrest, me and my hands are bleeding. And so they're taking me from one commissariat, from one headquarters, from my parish, now to Pétionville. They're heading with me.
So they came to your church and arrested you while you were feeding the children?
Yeah. Jean Juste has been a long time, as you said, pro-democracy advocate. He's a liberation theology priest. He's much loved in the community. He's a man who's very well known for his strength and his courage. And as you said, tonight, Jean Juste has been arrested by the de facto government of Gerard Latortour.
And inside the jail now, they're still doing massacres. When I was there, I witnessed some terrible situation, beating, head broken, blood all over. One prisoner who died.
Alrighty, every Sunday, feed the children. And indeed, that was when he was arrested. At the time, we remember Father Jean Juste, Haitian liberation theology priest, and yesterday, Wednesday, marked the 11th anniversary of his death.